We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. Yeah. You think Chris Raby is still listening over at the ballpark, or is he turned off by now? He's probably in the bathroom getting whatever concessions are still open at this point, or maybe some leftover nachos that someone left in the stands. I get that sort of thing. But I heard him earlier today during an interview ask the person, you know, when it was my birthday, Mom always let me pick out one cereal and dinner. What's your cereal and dinner? Because the person he was interviewing, it was his birthday. I thought that was the coolest question. I love that. Is that a universal thing? Does every kid get to pick out their favorite cereal and dinner on their birthday? Because my parents did the same thing. Mom always let me pick out the cereal. Last night was a crazy night. Crazy night. It's one night that we will not forget. When it came to the Singapore summit, the summit in Singapore, the whole idea of the president going and leaving the G7 summit, sitting down with North Korea. Who knows how much Pompeo had to do with the actual negotiations and moving it along. I have a feeling he is a major player when it came to getting an agreement with North Korea. But we had the signing last night. We had the press conference with Donald Trump. It was something else. So I'm going to play some clips of that coming up. In a few minutes, we'll also be joined by Dan Perkins, who's a TV and radio personality. He'll be talking about the summit in South Korea and how does President Trump compare to previous world leaders who have had sit-downs and tried to negotiate peace in the past. What he is saying, and his argument is actually really interesting, so I look forward to playing that here. But first, before we get to that, because I know it's so easy to get caught up in the giant summit from last night, but I don't want to spend all of the show talking about it again because we did it all last night, but we are going to talk a lot about it. I have some clips from reactions. Politicians are reacting to that. I'm going to take your calls coming up in the next hour or two at 11 o'clock. And next hour or two, Brian Maloney, he's with the Media Equity Project. I talk a lot about bias in the media, so this is in his wheelhouse. This is what he does every day. And I had a great conversation with him, which will come up in the next hour. And Tom Stockman, he's got a presentation at the History Museum. He's part of We Are Movie Geeks. If you haven't checked out that website, do so. Right here in St. Louis, a presentation at the History Museum on Thursday. Did you go to a lot of drive-ins growing up? You know, 50s, 60s, 70s? It was the heyday of the drive-ins. What an experience. My parents used to take me and my sister to the drive-ins in the 80s and early 90s. I haven't been to it in at least a decade. So we catch up on St. Louis drive-ins. This will be a fun thing. And all of which will be podcasted if you miss any of those conversations at KMOX.com. What I wanted to lead the show with today is the fight with St. Louis City Council in a possible ethics committee asking the feds to look into Steve Stanger in this whole Northwest Plaza deal, which I think is the right thing to do. Earlier today, there was a report of the ethics committee of the St. Louis City Council came out. It's a 20-some page report. Goes into all kinds of different. It has hearings and testimonies from February and March. Request to the county executive, other findings that they found, the true cost of the leases, campaign donations, withheld documents. This is scary. It's scary if they decide not to investigate this. So here's the latest from the Post-Dispatch. The St. Louis County Council should ask federal prosecutors and the Missouri Attorney General to investigate the county's multi-million dollar real estate deal with County Executive Steve Stanger's biggest campaign donors, the council's ethics committee said in a report on Tuesday that came out earlier. 20-year lease for the office space at the former Northwest Plaza in St. Anne. I see that plaza. I normally don't see a lot of cars outside of it. One of the big appeals of that plaza was, oh, it's a lot better than where we were before. Everything's more updated. They looked through it and they said, wow, these numbers are great. This is a no-brainer. They sign off on it. And then all of these underlining things that weren't forthright, weren't disclosed up top like they should have been. And then they find out about these campaign contributions to Steve Stenger and the people around him. And they're wondering to themselves, wait, this ain't normal. None of this is normal. The meeting, apparently Steve Stenger did not attend. He has said the 26-page ethics report is, quote, baseless, politically motivated, August election hit piece filled with inaccurate statements. I tend to disagree. I look at this thing, and let me just give you some of the highlights that they found. This is the executive summary. Based on 7,000 pages of documents and testimony from several witnesses, this is what the Ethics Committee found. And this is why they immediately need the Missouri Attorney General and also federal prosecutors to take a look at this. What we don't want is something highly inappropriate happening on your taxpayer dollar, your dime. And it goes without saying that if there has been something inappropriate done and there had been financial gain by Steve Stenger and his people and there's something that wasn't disclosed, then there has to be something done to this. There has to be a way for them to renegotiate or look at this agreement, which they said they may have the ability to do. So this is what they say as part of the executive summary. Based on those documents and the testimony, committee formed the following conclusions. I'm just going to highlight some of these. They actually came to, 14 conclusions. They said the county executive and his personal staff, rather than the career professionals who ordinarily negotiate leases, directly negotiated with the NWC leases with NWC's developers. So that being the Northwest Plaza, the NWC. The county executive and his personal staff disregarded the advice of career professionals in the Department of Public Works. The county's lease at NWC contained terms and conditions that are much less favorable to the county and ordinarily appear in county leases. The county executive falsely claimed there was competitive bidding. The NWC lease did not save the county money. The county executive paid the extra costs associated with the NWC leases in 2017 by hiding $2.4 million appropriation in the 2017 budget and then using his charter authority to transfer appropriations to move the money to pay the added expense while never revealing the increase in spending in the county council. So you're moving money around the books to hide some of the things you've done? Is that what I'm reading here? You used your authority to move money around. The authority you said you had, even though people are fighting you on what authority you have, you did it anyway. You transferred appropriations and money to pay additional expenses that were hidden in order to not disclose it? Is that kind of what I'm getting here? The county executive claimed to have personally negotiated the leases with NWC's developers, but has produced no evidence of those negotiations and refused to answer direct questions. County executive claimed that the developers invested $10 million in the county's tenant finishes in NWC, but no documentation has been provided to support his claim. You know, it's a great way to get him to testify. Get the feds involved. Let them bring up questioning. That'd be a really good way to get some answers. And I think that's what needs to be done. Oh yeah, there's more conclusions. The county executive did not provide a copy of the proposed leases to the county council before asking for approval. The amount of contributions to the county executive's political campaign accounted to the NWC developers are far more than would be ordinarily donated by any donor. So you may be getting around campaign contribution laws, perhaps? Just for that little bit alone, you need to bring in the attorney general and the feds. County executives' direct involvement with the lease negotiations create at least the appearance of impropriety concerning whether the county executive derived a personal benefit from the transactions and whether Anthony Badino was effectively paid by NWC's developers while negotiating the NWC leases. Again, campaign contributions, trying to get around them, not good. These are some major, major, major concerns. Get the attorney general onto this. Get the feds Don't wait till the election. Do it now. Do it. Do it now. You can find the story at camox.com. I got that one from the Post-Dispatch. But the actual ethics committee document I found linked at the Post-Dispatch. We may have to get back into this a little bit later because it's just too much. All right, so the big summit from yesterday, I wanted to get some more reactions. I wanted to talk to some people that have been watching it very, very closely. Joining us now on Overnight America, Dan Perkins, an author, also his website, danperkins.guru. Excited to get your insight into what just happened last night in Singapore. Dan, thanks for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you for inviting me.
Right. What we're seeing here is the word historic thrown around every other sentence. And last night, I think things moved a little quicker than the media anticipated. They didn't think there would be anything put down into words onto paper and signed by President Trump and Kim Jong-un. What are your general thoughts of what transpired last night?
Well, I wrote a commentary, which should be out probably tomorrow. I write for 12 different blogs and some newspapers, so I don't know where it's going to be. My publicist is in charge of that. But the title of the working title, whether the publisher will use that whole title or not, but the working title is Donald Trump is not Neville Chamberlain going to speak with Kim.
Interesting.
Neville Chamberlain was the prime minister of England who went to call on Hitler to try and convince him to not invade Czechoslovakia. And he came back with what he said was an agreement from Hitler that he wouldn't do certain things. And within 3 weeks after he signed the agreement, Hitler went in and invaded Czechoslovakia, and the rest is history. So it was an issue of appeasement. Donald Trump has not been appeasing at all to Mr. Kim. Now I'm going to make a statement, as I said to you in the pre-show. You'll not hear this, and maybe you'll hear it after I say it, but right now I know you're not going to hear this. Donald Trump is probably the best person of any president of the United States to hold this meeting, and I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, why is that?
Donald Trump is a multi-billionaire, and how did he get it? He got it by building condos, resorts, casinos, hotels, golf courses, office buildings all over the world, which meant in order for him to get the ability to build all over the world, he had to meet with leaders all over the world. Three presidents failed at their first summit. Richard Nixon failed. Ronald Reagan failed because they have no experience.
Is this the meeting with Gorbachev?
Yeah.
Right.
The first meeting with Gorbachev where he walked away.
Exactly.
The point is that Donald Trump has been training all of his life to hold the job that he has, and that is the CEO of the United States government. So he's done all these deals. He's worked all over the world. He's met with these people. He was uniquely trained and qualified to be the CEO of the United States to sit down with Mr. Kim. And why? The question then becomes, why did Mr. Kim decide to come to the table?
Lifetime of experience is one of the selling points of Donald Trump outside of the political system. That was one of the reasons why people liked him. They said he can actually get these sort of things done, and they recognized that in him. It was the opposite of all the other politicians that came before him, even President Obama, who had very little experience, in which we got to see during the 8 years when he was president.
Right. Well, if you look at the most recent presidents, how many of them have ever been CEO of a public company? Or a private company.
Yeah, outside of Romney, you know, who ran for office. Outside of that, there really wasn't much.
No, and so they're not trained to go onto the world stage and sit down and talk in a negotiation on what's going to happen. And because they were never trained. So the reason why those presidents failed was because they were ill-prepared, not from their foreign policy standpoint. They didn't have any business sense. Because the reality is, the reason why Kim came to the table was reinforced by what happened at the G7 conference in England just before he came to Singapore. Donald Trump said, America has been the piggy bank for the world in unfair trade, and that's going to stop. Kim can... Do you remember the picture when Kim stepped over the 38th parallel into South Korea?
Yes, yeah.
When he was on his side of the parallel, the gross domestic product of the city of the country of North Korea was equal to the GDP of Reno, Nevada. So when he crossed over into South Korea, the economy in South Korea is 53 times larger than the economy in North Korea. What Kim needs, that Donald Trump can bring to him, is American business.
Right.
He can bring him access to the American marketplace and help build the factories and start to employ the people, improve the quality of life, and make a change in what's happening in North Korea. As a result, Kim continues in power, but those people who are in those prison camps are going to get released because they're going to need to be working in the factories. And Kim's going to bring North Korea, through Trump, onto the world stage as an economic power, not a military power.
Radio, TV personality, also author Dan Perkins joins us here in Overnight America. You probably have seen the people online that, I like to say, you got to throw a guy a bone when he does something good, but there's still some hardcore people on the left that just will refuse to do that. And they're saying this is just a giant conspiracy. He went all the way across the world to get North Korea to get rid of their nukes just so he can build a hotel there. That's what their grand conspiracy theory is. I don't understand this way of thinking. Where it, is it, would it really be worth him being able to negotiate something like this as if there's no benefit for North Korea to get rid of their nukes and join the rest of the world in commerce?
Yes, yes. And they're unwilling to see, they're unwilling to admit that Donald Trump is in fact presidential. They're unwilling to admit that their guy had none of the business experience that allowed the president of the United States to get things done. And look what he's done in terms of employment, unemployment, growth. The Federal Reserve last, Bank of Atlanta last Friday, after the 3.8% jobs number, said they think we could see between 4.5 and 5.3% GDP for the second quarter of 2018.
That's something
when
else.
When Barack Obama said we'll never see 3% again.
Oh, I know. Well, one of the interesting things that I thought was the way the different presidents handled North Korea. So between Clinton and Bush, it was throw as much money as you can at them, and that way they won't be so angry, and then maybe they'll turn their ways. President Obama was a little bit different. He didn't really throw as much money, but he didn't really talk or try to really work with them. One of the things that I thought was most interesting was the interview with Dennis Rodman on CNN, where he said for 5 years he was trying to get President Obama to meet with Kim Jong-un, who wanted to talk to the United States, and that request was ignored during the Obama administration. I was thinking, why would they not want to try to get nukes away from that area? And it, I think it goes back to what President Trump has always said, which was that when it comes to negotiations, when it comes to working with other foreign countries, that there have been so many bad deals set up before him. This shouldn't have gone this long. It shouldn't have taken this long to get to this point. But here he is trying to fix and clean up the mess.
Yeah, he said when he was running that his predecessors had kicked the North Korean can down the road. And if you understand that there was a point that a lot of people didn't understand what was happening. If you look at the historical relationship over three generations of rulers, and you look at the way they've conducted their business, they'll say, well, they'll rattle those sabers, and they say, well, maybe we should have a meeting, and then they don't go to the meeting.
Yeah.
And they rattle some more, and everybody wants to, quote, appease them. So they go to a meeting, and they say, well, give us money, give us food, give us, and we'll behave until the next time. And Trump knew that. That was their strategy. So when Kim went after Pence, Trump, who was extremely loyal to people who were loyal to him, could not tolerate the idea that they would attack the vice president's integrity. So Trump said, screw it, there's not going to be a meeting. Well, Kim and their leaders in North Korea said, wait a minute, that's not the playbook. He's not supposed to do that.
That's not what we're used to.
He's supposed to give us money and do all this other stuff, and they said no. So quickly you saw Kim come back, realizing there is a new sheriff in town in Donald Trump, and he is calling the shots. And because he's a businessman, because he's a successful businessman, he's had failures, but he's also very successful. He knows how to negotiate. I tell people, if you haven't read The Art of the Deal, and I don't get any royalties, you haven't read The Art of the Deal, you need to read it to understand how this man functions,
right,
why he does what he does.
Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't realize how young Kim Jong-un is. He took over at a very young age, in his mid-20s, and he's still very young. And
34.
He has a lot to gain. I always think that North Korea had everything to gain and everything to lose there, too. For the United States, for the most part, we have a lot to gain with the stability and peace in that region. We really don't have a whole lot to lose, very little for us to lose, because if we still continue to treat North Korea the way we're treating North Korea, it's not like we're losing out of that, but we have a lot to gain, too, with them. They have a lot more to gain to get onto the same commerce with the rest of the world and find peace in that region, too. There could be a lot of economic growth in that region, too. So I think hopefully they realize that. I think they do, and I think that's one of the big stepping stones that President Trump could hold hands to and say, hey, when it comes to economics, you have one of the best opportunities here. This is why you need to do it.
Right. Yeah. The other thing that I want to point out, I know we're almost out of time, but the other thing I want to point out is, again, nobody's talking about this. The implications of Mr. Kim closing down his nuclear capacity spills over to Iran.
Because
North Korea... Mm-hmm. North Korea has been a major supplier of technology and information for the Iranians to build their nuclear capabilities.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Well, that's a huge bonus. That's almost like the dominoes falling. I always thought that once North Korea is dealt with, the next focus would be Iran. And to me, I think once Iran's focused on, if President Trump could wrangle Iran, I see conflicts like Venezuela would be almost something that he would tackle. If he could fit all of those things in one presidency, you got to be kidding me. That's in a lot of things he's cleaning up.
Well, the difference, yes, the difference here on the Iranian situation is that there's a revolt going on within the country.
Mm-hmm.
The college students, the young people, and the middle class are revolting against the mullahs.
Right,
because of their aggressive stand, and so you could see a regime change in Iran, especially if Trump imposes the economic sanctions that cuts them. They're the third largest oil exporter in the world, and if they cut them back, they're going to be in serious financial difficulty again.
Yeah, I like that President Trump wasn't doing this kumbaya moment with the G7. He was like, we mean business. I don't got time. I'm going to go get peace in North Korea. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah. A lot of people don't understand is that if you're a dairy farmer in the Midwest and you want to import a dairy product into Canada across the border, the tariff is 235% to import American dairy products to Canada. 235%.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And the Brits ship a car over to the mainland, to the European Union. They pay a 10% duty, but when a car comes from Germany across the channel to England, there's only a 2% duty.
Mm.
So it's not just us. The whole world trade situation is screwed up, and we need to get rid of a lot of these tariffs.
Uh-huh. Totally agree. Dan Perkins, your website, danperkins.guru. Look for your article. I can't wait to read it when it comes out. We'll have to keep an eye out on all the great blogs that you write for. Where can people find some of the work that you're doing now, though?
DanPerkins.guru. You can actually see a lot of my commentary.
Awesome. He joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. All right, let's talk Singapore Summit. The pundits talk too. Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.